God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in DC, let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. What is bravery? How do you define it? I've heard people say bravery is not the absence of fear. It is a decision to act despite fear. I think if you are acting in a brave way, you have to be willing to pay a cost. There has to be a downside to your activity. And it has been said, and the left would have you believe, and the sexual left and people who are of the world have used for many, many years, 6 or 7 years, brave and stunning. When a man comes out and says, "I am in fact a woman," it is brave and it is stunning. Well, I guess at a time it was. To, I think, admit any mental illness used to be brave and stunning because it stunned people that we don't talk about these things. We've always been aware that there are men who like to wear dresses, which is different, by the way, often, than men who've come to believe that they're women or want you to believe it, want to force you to believe it. They may themselves might not even believe it, but they want to force you to do it. And there was a time when admitting, "Yeah, I'm confused this way," was admitting I'm confused. Now it's saying you're confused. So it's no longer brave nor stunning because there is no downside. In fact, there's a huge upside. You gain magic powers. The kind of magic powers that, well, demons would want to have. I'm not calling gender-confused people demons. Some of them are demonically oppressed and possessed. I'm not saying they all are. But think about the powers that the demons want to have over us. Distort, distract, depress, cause us to believe lies that are not true. You're not lovable. No, the reason that bad thing happened to you is you deserve it. You're not lovable. Well, that happened because God hates you. That's why that happened. Think of the book, The Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis. All the ways the enemy lies or distorts. The very famous example of the couple who's decided finally to go to church. And they walk into church and the demons are afraid, "We're losing them." And so the senior demon Screwtape reminds the demons to tell the new churchgoers to feel proud. We're proud of ourselves for going to church. Look at us. And plus, we're not like the poor people in the back pews. We give money. Thank gosh we're not like those stinky people. Okay, go to church. Be proud. Be prideful. Satan wins. So in the case of gender-confused people, look at what they get to do. "Oh, I'm going to make you pretend I'm a man when I'm a woman. And if I'm a man and I'm going to force you to pretend I'm a woman, and you don't do that, you could lose your job." Yeah, you're going to pretend. "I'm going to force you to speak lies." That's a magic power. I will force you to lie. So they're the most powerful people in the world right now. Well, people who don't own nuclear weapons or the codes to them and don't run government, and yet they do run government. Many. So what is bravery? Bravery is to act despite fear. It must contain a downside. The women of the University of Nevada at Reno, the volleyball team there, is defying their own school. The school would like them to lie. They would like the volleyball team to lie and pretend that a man is a woman. And the volleyball team playing is San Jose State has a man on it. And it's one of their star players. Imagine that, a man, a star player on a women's team, because he's a man is why he's the star. And the women of University of Nevada, Reno, have said to the school, we're not playing. And this is why it's brave. We're risking our main goal, which is a Mountain West championship. University of Nevada's women volleyball team captain and outside hitter, Sia Lilly, told the Daily Signal. A team is a group that bands together to reach a common goal, and that is the purpose of our spot on the teams. No one wants to lose and put that at risk, but this is bigger than wins and losses. It is the future of women's sports, she explained. The majority of the Nevada volleyball team voted to forfeit its October 26 game against California's San Jose State University, where a man who calls himself Blair Fleming has led an almost undefeated season. Almost undefeated. And other schools have refused to play and to lie. Nevada women are the fifth ones to do this. Our team had multiple discussions or had multiple meetings to discuss this issue, the team leader said, Lily. We all have a voice that deserves to be heard. A vast majority of our team voted to stand in solidarity with teams that forfeited. And as a team, we sent a letter to our administration letting them know we'd be releasing a statement that we will not be playing. This is bravery. Because it has a downside. But it's not about the future of women's sports. That's an understatement. It's about the future of truth and the ability to speak it despite brutal threats like being debanked. You won't have money, man. You're not going to be able to use any money. You're going to starve. You won't be allowed to work. Are you ready for those days? I ask not to accuse, but to explore. And I mean this in absolute, absolute respect. I don't mean to be offensive. Did you wear masks? Now, if you're convinced they work to this day, then that's a separate issue. Did you wear them knowing they didn't work? Well, you could say, yes, it was a Romans 13 issue. I knew they didn't work, but the authorities said we're to wear them, and so I did. And I can understand that point of view. I can. Knowing that they were lies, if you knew at the time the masks did not work and you used Romans 13 to say, well, I'll do this, and I get it, you're erring on the side of safety, to follow the Lord Jesus, to follow the Bible, I get that. But you knew they were a lie? Would that be like wearing a lie on your face? I mean, so I wore a mask one time. It's because our little girl, our daughter, was in the emergency room. Her last ever real serious suicide attempt. Her last ever suicide attempt, praise God. And it was a solid one. She opened up her entire arm. A vein was just on display. Solid attempt. Terribly frightening unless you've been through it hundreds of times like we have. Still frightening. But not like a first timer, sadly. I had to wear a mask to see her in the emergency room. The only time I wore one, and I walked in and went into the emergency room where she would be housed, and a doctor walked in to talk to us. He said, take that off. I said, praise God, thank you, because this is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. I said, first time I've ever wore one. He goes, I know, they make you wear them to come in here. Don't wear them around me. When I was leaving the hospital, they make you wear it on the way out. So I had it pressed against my face, and I took it off, and there were some doctors standing in there, and they were wearing on their faces, had their mask dropped below their faces. I said, so is there a biohazard container for me to put this in since it's filled with a dangerous pathogen? And they laughed. They said, toss it in the trash. Are you ready for a day where you're told the mask is, yeah, that man's a woman? See, that's a very direct lie. Oh, you will face pressure like this. I don't care what state you live in. This is a top-down approach. And if it's not this, it'll be something else. If they can't make enough people claim that men are women, they'll find some other way to try to break your resistance to being forced to lie, because they're building a lie. They're building a lie for the liar. And the lie, of course, is the core idea that there's no truth. It's right back to the day. It's right back to when a Roman authority looked Jesus in the eye and said, well, what is truth? The Lord Jesus might have said, I am. Because he'd said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He chose not to respond that way. Are you ready for a time, because it's coming? It happened in Scotland with these letters sent to people's homes that you are okay praying in your home for now. But if people in the abortion clinic next door feel it's a threat, we are going to need you to stop praying in your home, or to do it silently. Are you ready for the day where you go, yeah, no. Respectfully, no. I'm one who is kind of a stickler for rule of law. Even as I respect the authorities, and I do, I respect cops, I revere the Constitution, not the same way I revere the Bible, but I revere it. I believe the men who wrote it were inspired by God, not in the same way as the people who wrote the Bible who were channeling God through them. Those men were inspired by the Bible, maybe that's a better way to say it. Flawed men, we're all flawed. But I am this person. I got roped into one of those license and registration checks they did for a while back east. They would set up these stop points, checkpoints. And I am the guy. I won't participate. And we got pulled over on the side of the freeway and told to pull up to this mark. And an officer walked up to the car, and I rolled the window down about 2 inches. He said, can you move the window down all the way? I said, good evening, officer. I can hear you fine from here. Thank you. All right, license and registration, please. Am I being detained? Let me have your license and registration right now. Yeah, am I being detained? I'm going to ask again, roll your window down the whole way. No, I can hear you fine here, officer. I want your license and registration, and I want them now. Proof of insurance. Am I being detained? I'm not answering your question. Get me license and registration. No, sir, I respectfully decline until you tell me if I'm being detained. If I'm being detained, I'll absolutely comply. Am I being detained? Then he pointed, he said, park over there, pull over to the side. I said, no, sir, I respectfully decline. I'm not going to do that. Unless I'm being detained. If I'm being detained, yes, sir, officer, I'll go do that. And they pulled a series of supervisors over. And finally, a supervisor, big, large man, came up and yelled at me, roll your window down now. No, sir, I can hear you fine from here. He goes, are you a lawyer? I said, no, sir, I am not. Then give me the license and registration. And then my friend sitting next to me said, okay, officer, I haven't said anything at this point, but now I'm late for a meeting. I am a lawyer. I work at the Department of Justice. I can show you my credentials. And he shook his head and said, go. Thank you, officer. Please be safe. Have a good evening. Why did I tell you that story? Would you do the same? I beg you to pray about being prepared for the day where you are told to speak lies, to stop praying, and to stop reading that silly Bible. Which, by the way, in Ireland, according to some readings of the hate crimes law there, possessing a Bible is illegal because it contains hate language. Are you prepared for those days? There's so much to get to, including Kamala Harris with Bret Baier. A lot to talk about there. And a note, just a reminder about political prisoners in America. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. We'll be right back. listening to Disciples View. Thank you for the entire week of engagement and talking, and thank you to AFR for, well, making it possible for us to have news centered on the Word of God. That is when I get out of God's way and try to do that the right way. Brett Baer was suspected by a lot of conservatives that he would take it very, very easy on Kamala Harris, and her team they're clever. Kamala is not a particularly clever person, and I think she suffers intellectually. She's servile to anything that will give her power, but her team is very clever. This was really smart. They showed up 17 minutes late to an interview that was supposed to be about a half hour or about 40 minutes long. They did that to cut the time in half. And were that not the case, they would have said, "Hey, Brett, we're sorry we're late. We've moved your next appointment back. We promised you 40 minutes. 40 minutes you'll have." They didn't do that. New York Post reports that the team that runs Kamala Harris was there shutting down the interview, giving them the hard rap sign. So they do this for another reason. That is to make Brett Baer seem to be pushing the great lady, to seem to be rude to the great lady. Because the great lady, of course, can say, Brett, I'm talking. I'm answering. I'm answering." Really good stagecraft. Really good idea. Because Kamala cannot have reasonable conversations because, number one, she knows she's lying about things. Number two, she's intellectually challenged. And number three, she's unlikable. And this isn't I'm not saying she's unlikable because I don't care for her tone. I believe great evil's done through her. I say that because the evidence shows that people don't like her. The more she's seen, the less she's appreciated, which is why they were having to have her, they were happy to have her seen less and less and less. So with Brett Baer on Fox News, Kamala Harris sounded shrill, evasive, defensive, trying to pretend not to be an open border saboteur of America.
How many illegal immigrants would you estimate your administration has released into the country over the last 3.5 years?
Well, I'm glad you raised the issue of immigration because I agree with you. It is a topic of discussion that people want to rightly have. And you know what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, but
right
do you
now,
just a number? Is, do you but, think it's but, 1 million, 3 million?
Brett, let's just get to the point. Okay, the point is that we have a broken immigration system that needs to be repaired.
So your Homeland Security Secretary said that 85% of apprehensions.
I'm not finished. We have
it's a rough estimate of 6 million people have been released into the country.
So the game, you see the game, right? The game is to make it seem like Brett Baer is unfairly pushing the great lady. And the great lady is there patiently answering the questions of one of her subjects. Brett Baer. So it's a brilliant game. But she cannot answer questions in regard to follow-up. Do you think it's a good idea to do this? She's not going to answer the number. Brett Baer knew that. She's not going to answer, was it a good idea to do this? She can't. Now, Kamala Harris is intellectually challenged, but she knows the game. She's been in politics a very, very long time, and she understands that the invasion is purposeful. It serves multiple fronts. It's lowering labor costs. It is redistributing attitudes and ideas and beliefs that are much more aligned with an authoritarian, top-down, China model approach, which is what the Democrats hope to install in this country. It is destabilizing our cities, which will eventually move a lot of people to the point where they will demand top-down authoritarian control, which is what the Democrats seek to install. And a lot of people are getting paid a lot of money to make this happen. And there's a lot of money to go around. So Kamala Harris knows these things. How hard must it be to not be able to say to Brett Baer, "Hey, Brett, you know why I'm doing this. We all know. This is being done globally. All the Western countries are being forced to do this. It's a plan from on high, much higher than you or me, higher than the pay grade of president. That's why it's happening globally." Haven't you noticed that it's happening in Scotland and Ireland and England and Germany and Netherlands? But not in China or Russia. Why is that? Why isn't it happening in China or Russia? Shouldn't they take their fair share? Oh, I know China's involved in pushing that in the United States, but why would China want to make it easier for illegal immigrants to enter the United States? That doesn't make any sense. Illegal immigration is good for the United States. That's what Kamala Harris has said. Who else is going to build houses? They're building a lie. They're building a lie, and they're forcing people to agree. And we pay taxes. I haven't paid mine yet. Oh, I admit it, I haven't. I will. I'm finding it very, very difficult to write a $30,000 check to a corrupt government. I admit it. Oh, I know I'm going to pay a fine. I find it very, very difficult. I have to do it because of Jesus. Otherwise, well, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. Only in service of Jesus do I do it. And we're reaching a time where we're going to have a serious conversation as a church body. Not me. I'm unqualified. I mean real Christian leaders, real theologians, very mature Christians, many of whom are on this network, far more mature in the faith than me, know much more about it. But I think we're going to have a conversation soon about, are we going to get to a point where Romans 13 says we can't pay taxes because we're funding criminal activity and we're going against our Constitution entirely? That would be a scary time. I'm glad it won't be me leading that discussion, and you should be glad as well. So back to this discussion, Bret Baier and Kamala Harris, which was set up to make Bret Baier look rude. Kamala Harris could not stop pretending Donald Trump still runs the country.
Frankly, exhausted of Bret.
More than 70% of people tell the country is on the wrong track. They say the country is on the wrong track. If it's on the wrong track, that track follows 3.5 years of you being vice president and President Biden being president. That is what they're saying, 79% of them. Why are they saying that? If you're turning the page, you've been in office for 3.5 years.
And Donald Trump has been running for office.
But you've been the person holding the office.
Come on.
Madam
you
Vice
and I
President.
Both know what I'm talking about. You and I both know what I'm talking about.
I actually
about.
Don't. What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is that over the last decade,
but
people have become.
Power.
But listen, over the last decade, it is clear to me, and certainly the Republicans who are on stage with me.
What was she saying? She's saying this: I don't want to talk about the fact that we've been in power. I came here 17 minutes late to make you appear rude. It was supposed to be a 40-minute or so interview. It's cut in half. In this compressed time, you're going to try to get as many questions in as possible. You're going to move me along, and I'm filibustering. These are not the acts of someone who's confident. Her team is not confident. They know the more she's seen, the less likable she is, so they make Bret Baier seem unlikable. It's very smart. One more piece from this, and I'd like to compare this treatment with J.D. Vance, who is on with a very liberal NPR propagandist, who at one point had favorably compared Fidel Castro to God. So with Steve Bannon still in prison, and President Trump still being threatened with prison, and Peter Navarro, a Trump supporter and advisor who just got out of prison, Kamala Harris screams about President Trump being the threat to freedom.
Talked about locking people up because they disagree with him. This is a democracy. And in a democracy, the president of the United States, in the United States of America, should be willing to be able to handle criticism without saying he'd lock people up for doing it.
Why is Peter Navarro just recently out of prison? Why is Steve Bannon in prison? Well, they refused to comply with a subpoena. Oh, like Hunter did? Like Merrick Garland is doing? Like Alejandro Mayorkas has done? Just like that, right? Like the January 6th committee did? They can't comply because they destroyed the evidence. Douglas Mackey doesn't hold any power at all. Maybe you've not heard of him. The people who run Joe Biden and Kamala Harris want him in prison. What was his crime? His crime is called stochastic terrorism. It was a statute invented to punish KKK members and to prevent them from blocking black people from voting. Stochastic terrorism. So what did Douglas Mackey do that blocked black people from voting? He retweeted a meme. Full stop. That's it. That's all. The meme said, you can vote for Hillary Clinton via text. Text Hillary to this number and you voted. Dirty trick? Okay. Did the DOJ produce a single victim? Nope. No one fell for it. Or at least they didn't come forward to say they fell for it. A liberal filmmaker, a woman, created her own video telling Trump supporters they could vote for Trump via text. She has not been indicted. So Kamala Harris, in service of the lie, says it's President Trump who's putting people in prison for disagreeing with him. In service of the lie. Are you ready for a time when the government comes to you and says, you have to say Kamala Harris is a great leader? You have to. Well, they'd never do that in America. Oh, I'm sorry. The government has come and said, you will pretend a woman is a man. You will. You will pretend that mask is helping you. They said to doctors, you will pretend that these injections, these mRNA injections, you'll pretend that they're safe and effective. When you see someone who's clearly been injured by the injections, you will pretend otherwise. Or we'll partner with pharma and your insurance companies to scrape money out of your pockets. Money we gave you to lie about the injections. J.D. Vance is a interesting, fascinating comparison because he does a great job of engaging in conflict without being rude, without being unlikable. He does it with a smile on his face. He does it with a calm tone. J.D. Vance spoke with former NPR propagandist Lourdes Garcia Navarro. Here's part of their talk.
In the debate, you were asked to clarify if you believe Trump lost the 2020 election. Do you believe he lost the 2020 election?
I think that Donald Trump and I have both raised a number of issues with the 2020 election, but we're focused on the future. I think there's an obsession here with focusing on 2020. I'm much more worried about what happened after 2020, which is a wide open border, groceries that are unaffordable. And look,
Senator, yes or no? Okay. Did Donald Trump lose the 2020 election?
Let me ask you a question. Is it okay that big technology companies censored the Hunter Biden laptop story, which independent analysis have said cost Donald Trump millions of votes?
Senator Vance, I'm going to ask you again. Did Donald Trump lose the 2020 election?
Did big technology companies censor a story that independent studies have suggested would have cost Trump millions of votes?
Senator Vance, I'm going to ask you again. Did Donald Trump lose the 2020 election?
And I've answered your question with another question. You answer my question and I'll answer yours.
I have asked this question repeatedly. It is something that is very important for the American people to know. There is no proof, legal or otherwise, that Donald Trump did not lose the 2020 election.
You're repeating a slogan rather than engaging with what I'm saying.
Beautiful. She cannot answer his question because the only answer is yes, it's wrong that big tech companies lied. Oh, and they were forced to lie. Government told them, you will lie about this. So they said, okay. And they're powerful, mighty. And they did it. Mark Zuckerberg may be trying to rescue his reputation. He's the CEO of Meta, which is really just Facebook. Well, it's not. That's not true. Because they own Instagram and some other things. So he's CEO of Meta, which is best known for Facebook. He's since come out and said, you know what? It was wrong. We made a mistake doing this. And maybe that's true. Maybe he feels that way now. But he said they felt forced to do it. Mark Zuckerberg, with enough money to never work again, 1,000 generations down of Zuckerbergs, felt compelled to lie. Are you ready for the day the government comes to you and says, hey, you know what? Jesus is not God. Stop saying he's God. But the government would never do that. Well, wait a minute. The government has put a woman in prison for praying, albeit in a forbidden area. She was forbidden from praying there, so she's going to prison for 3.5 years for praying. There's other people facing prison for singing religious songs, albeit, again, in an area where you're not allowed to sing religious songs because they're busily aborting babies, but they're going to prison. Douglas Mackey is facing prison because he retweeted a meme that was inconvenient to Hillary Clinton and the left. So are you ready for the day when the government comes to you and says, hey, we need you to stop saying Jesus is Lord, or you can't work anymore, your kids can't go to school, we're going to shut down your bank account? That might not happen while we live on this earth, but we know from the book of Revelation there will come a time where you adhere to what the beast wants, or you have trouble feeding yourselves. We should think about these things, talk about them, pray about them. For me, I pray to be taken up before I have to face that decision. We'll come back under the Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to the Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I know it's out of the news cycle, but I refuse to be someone who allows the news cycle to force us to ignore very, very important topics. If you were injected with the mRNA injections, here's further signs, proof, that you were never given informed consent. Even if, in the rare cases, that your doctor opened up the insert to the injections and went over them with you, you still weren't given informed consent. Well, first of all, because what you were injected with was not the drug that had emergency use authorization. That never happened. But because of the undisclosed elements that were in all the injections. Now, of course, in a world that wasn't so fallen and against an enemy, and Big Pharma is our enemy, full stop. In a world that was not run that way, this would be a massive scandal, and every single executive with every pharma company would sit in front of a congressional review just prior to being frog marched out to a DOJ indictment. Here's what they found. And this was a very, very intense process. This was detected by scanning electron microscopy coupled with energy dispersive X-ray spectroscopy and high precision inductively coupled plasma mass spectrometry. It's a lot. Among the undeclared elements in these shots, all of them across all brands, chromium was found in 100% of the samples. Arsenic was found in 82% of the samples. Nickel was found in 59%, cobalt and copper 47%, tin 35%, cadmium, lead, and manganese in 18%, mercury in 6%, in all brands. All brands, they found boron, calcium, titanium, aluminum, arsenic, nickel, chromium, copper, gallium, strontium, niobium, molybdenum, barium, and hafnium. I'm just remembering something. When these injections came out and President Trump was president, leftists said, I'm not taking these. Orange Man Bad made these. And then the moment that President Trump remember when they had to bring the National Guard in and those Marine Special Forces to invade the White House and take Trump out by force as he was ordering people to shoot back? What? I'm sorry, a second. A research team members entered the studio. Hi. No, but the insurrection. No, the most violent day, that, what, it didn't? He left peacefully? Oh, I apologize. I was under the impression that... So in any case, when President Trump left peacefully and Joe Biden was installed, the same leftist said, oh, glory be, the shots are here and they're all perfectly safe. Isn't this the same country? Isn't this the same country? Wasn't it the same set of shots? It was. And yet all the wise people said, now it's good for you. And in this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?
I'm Kamala Harris. My pronouns are she and her. I'm a woman sitting at the table wearing a blue suit.
Three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling. MSNBC, oh no, wait, wrong place. J.D. Waltz loves playing make-believe.
And Senator Vance, he became a media darling. He wrote a book about the place he grew up. But the premise was trashing that place where he grew up rather than lifting it up. This guy's a venture capitalist cosplaying like he's a cowboy or something. I don't even know what a venture capitalist does most of the time.
That's Tim Waltz, of course, not JD. So let's retrace what he just said. Well, by the way, he was dressed up in a flannel hunting shirt and a regular dude gray ball cap because he's just a regular oofus, just a doofus like us. Just like the Family Guy or whatever terrible TV show. I've never seen that. Is that an awful show? I'm sure it is. It's on TV these days. He doesn't know what those stinking fancy venture capitalists do. Yes, he does. That's a complete act. And by the way, J.D. Vance didn't trash Appalachia. He wrote about it. There's real and true poverty in Appalachia. And his mother was affected by it. And in real and true poverty, sometimes people give in to altering their state of mind using pharmaceuticals. And pharmaceutical companies love that, particularly in Appalachia. It's a huge problem there. He didn't trash it. He wrote about it. And in terms of cosplay, pardon me, Tim Waltz, you are a guy who, in fact, enforces tampons in boys' restrooms so boys can more effectively engage in the cosplay of being girls. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. MSNBC has an interesting description of dementia. That is when it's applied to Orange Man literally Adolf Hitler.
It's interesting because the age issue really damaged President Biden before he got out of the race. Could this attack line hurt Trump in the same way down this home stretch?
Sure. The only thing I disagree with is I don't think Donald Trump is hiding much. Look at, you have to be demented to stand on stage and start dancing when it's a town hall.
You have to. Have you seen the videos of Tim Waltz dancing? You have to be demented. Do you know why President Trump did that, by the way? He was changing the mood because some people had passed out. He was trying to lighten the mood in his dementia, says MSNBC, who still pretends that Joe Biden is perfectly crisp and sound of mind. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Speaking of mental health issues, co-host of The View, Sunny Hostin, says the Mockingbird media isn't doing enough to help Kamala Harris.
No, Dems are not scared to death. Dems are pumped. What I would like the press to talk a little bit more about is Trump is in hiding. He didn't do the 60 Minutes interview. He does not want to do another debate. He's in mental decline. Obama's speech was captivating in Pittsburgh, yet instead of talking about that, we're talking about what he said before the speech to black men. I think that the media has to do a much better job than what they're doing.
to help Kamala Harris because she's not being helped enough. What with the 60 Minutes editing, etc. That's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That is called Bidenomics.
She's so joyful when she laughs.
That is called Bidenomics, and we are very proud of Bidenomics.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, I want to play a soundbite that is going to be very difficult to hear. It is very disturbing. If you have young people listening to it, I want you to be cautious. It involves the topic of sexual assault. And it is not explicit, but it is difficult to hear. So word of caution, please. Be mindful if you're listening with young people. And then I'll tell you why this is a personal note for me, okay? There's a singer. Her name is Nikki Heaton. And I want you to hear this because she describes herself, as she says, this is her accusation, being sexually assaulted by Sean P. Diddy Combs and apparently Kanye West. We play that, Randy?
I'm like, you guys, stop. Like, stop. And they're getting to the point where they have like ripped my shirt off. And I'm like almost fully exposed at this point. And they're both coming at me. And I'm like, you guys, like seriously, this isn't funny anymore. And I look to my left where his executive is. Like, we know him pretty well. Like, we've been around him a lot. He's literally 3 feet away from me. Like, if I reached and he reached too, like we could touch, like he's that close. And I look and I'm like, hey, like I give that look where I'm just like, come on, like step in, like this isn't cool. Like you're a grown man, like you're like 50 years old. I know you have a family, like you know this isn't right, like do something. And this is the part that for as long as I live, I will never forget. It isn't actually the aspect of being sexually assaulted. That's not what haunts me. It's this. It's as these two grown men were pawing at me, trying to take my clothes off, I look over to this man asking for help, and I literally mouth the word help. And we lock eyes. And he looks away. And I'm like, okay, there's still two more men in the room. And I look to his engineer next, who is sitting right next to him. And I know that he's married and he just had a little baby girl. And I'm like, okay, he's gonna do something. And I look at him next and I'm like, okay, like do something, say something, do anything. And he looks down at his phone and starts texting. And then I was like, oh. I look at Kanye's cousin next, and I'm like, do something, you know, like, do something. And he spins his chair around. And that's when that, like, gut-wrenching fear set in. And I was like, oh, no one's saving me tonight.
Chilling. And I believe it. Because people like Kanye West and Sean P. Diddy Combs have too much power. I've been too often in Hollywood. It's personal this way. When we watched Families early on, when Children's Hospital in Seattle, Mary's Bridge Hospital in Tacoma, we're working with government to threaten parents into getting kids transed. We watched as parents said, look what they're doing to our kids. Look. And some medical providers turned away. Oh, it's not sexual assault, but it's similar. Some providers turned away Some of them cheered it on. Some family members didn't want to engage. I'm sorry that we can't have this talk. But this is your niece. I'm sorry. I cannot talk with you about this. The media refused to acknowledge it. Breathless. I was breathless when I saw this happen. When I had three investigative reporters look at the stories of 10 families to whom this was happening all these years ago. I had their video testimony. I had their written testimony. I had pictures. Television investigative reporters, one by one by one, met with me and said, it's too hot to handle. We're not allowed to talk about it. And so kids were chemically and surgically altered. What is bravery? Bravery is acting despite fear. What is going on right now in our country that takes that case with this singer, Nikki Haton, those are her allegations against Sean P. Diddy Combs and Kanye West, where people are turning away? It's monumental levels of sex trafficking. That's back. And want to know where it's most prevalent? Small towns. Why? Because the traffickers and the men who want to inflict their lusts upon the bodies of children know that small town police forces don't have the resources to fight this. And there are kids out there, and this is why it's personal, because I've seen the effects of kids who've been used that way as adults turn away, as some man pushes a girl into a truck. Turn away. No, we're not going to turn away. We're going to act as people empowered by the Holy Spirit to confront evil. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Until God gives us permission to speak again together, may the peace of the Lord that transcends all understanding rest upon you and your families. May the Lord help us rescue the lost, spiritually and otherwise. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.